I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Okay, roll call tonight. Ken Johnson might be here later, but he has some serious family things going on. So we'll see if he makes it or not. Citizen input is next on our agenda, so if you have an item you'd like to address the council on, it's council business, that's not on the agenda tonight, raise your hand, and we'll acknowledge you, and you can come to the microphone and give us your name and address, and we'll give you up to 5 minutes to address the council. Okay. Do I hear a motion for the approval of the agenda?
So moved.
Second.
Dan first. Okay. Charles second. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same. Okay, great. That passes. Consent agenda. Do I hear a motion?
I so moved.
Okay, Ken?
Second.
Gina seconded. Any discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same. Okay, great. That passes. Okay, current business. Volunteer recognition. I feel truly honored and I thank you for this award tonight. The amazing thing is getting an award for doing
connection that work provides. Little did I know that my life would take one more meaning and purpose than before because of volunteering. Life is incredibly enriched because of the relationships we form along the way. I have been blessed with the opportunity to get to know and work with so many amazing people that make up the community of Othello, our senior citizens group, our beautification committee, the hospital auxiliary ladies, the hospital board, you folks who keep our city running smoothly, our business community, and my Nazarene church family. Wow, how lucky am I? I feel like I receive an award every day by living and volunteering here in Othello. If you want to improve the quality of your life, I highly recommend finding something you enjoy doing and volunteer. I'm going to read that at the same time. If you want to improve the quality of your life, I highly recommend finding something you enjoy doing, then volunteer. Thanks again. Thank you.
Okay, 4.2, presentation to outgoing elected official. Mark, you want to come down with me?
Some of the decisions, I always liked you as people. I thought you're a good group and fun to work with. and for springing me for all these committees, and Monday nights, I also want to thank my spouse, Christie, for coming up. Thank you.
Okay, 4.3, DOT, SR 26 and First Avenue intersection. Bob?
Is this on? Okay. Can you hear me all right? Okay. Well, thank... That's better. Thanks for having us back. We've had a series of workshops to get to this point on the Othello Stage 2 intersection enhancement project, and I'm here to kind of go over where we've gone. I know this is a continuance on what the city proposed to what the original design was, and I'm going to walk through that pretty briefly, go through it, answer questions, and the goal is to get endorsement on the project so we can move forward and deliver the project next year as scheduled and the funding's set up. So having said that, I'm going to get right into it. Basically, I'll cover quickly on the city's letter. You don't need to bring it up. I got it here. But in the city's letter, they requested a speed reduction. They requested no left turns eastbound for SR 26, on SR 26 for trucks. And that's if you're heading eastbound on 26, you want to take a left on First Street. That was one of the things, and the city requested trying to keep the trucks off that left turn, is how I understood that. If I'm wrong, please clarify that, but that's how I read it. That came up prior about trying to split the traffic up, getting trucks to go left, right on the spur, and then into town that way. And that was one of them you brought up in the letter. Caution lights prior to the intersections on both east and westbound traffic. Those are the main points that came up in that letter that we got. I'm going to go through those pretty quick on the summary. I did send that information to the council already, and I didn't get any feedback, so here we go. First of all, can you bring up PDF 04, number 4? Thank you. And I'll talk primarily off of this overhead. Apologize for the size. If you can zoom it in a little bit. Okay. I got the little schematic here. Okay. Can you roll over to the intersection proper at 26 and 1st, to the right? Yeah, thank you. There we go. That's our intersection. This is the for those that haven't been involved with this process, the city, this has been going on since 2005. There's been a series of meetings way back then on a value engineering to come up with the best solution to skin a cat. And this cat here is this intersection with a lot of accidents, a lot of cross accidents, a lot of turning accidents. I'm sure everybody in this room probably knows somebody that might have been in an accident. And so the city went, in conjunction with the DOT, went after some grant money to get money to build and to improve this intersection's safety, enhance it. Last year, a couple years back, we regraded on Highway 24 into Broadway so more trucks can go underneath that bridge. That was the first stage, and now we're into the second stage of the project, which is improving this intersection right here to eliminate some of these collisions. And with that, with the city's proposal, we went back and looked at all what they were looking at and trying to minimize impacts to businesses on both sides of First Avenue. And I think we got a game plan now, and I hope to get endorsement, so I'm going to go walk through each one. Originally, we were excluding left turn movement, and the city came back and asked for utilize the old left turn lane that would come onto the spur, maybe use that for a refuge. So we looked at that, and the answer is yes, we can get there. Not an acceleration lane. I think that word was thrown out a couple times, and that acceleration lane is essentially a longer refuge lane, and then people plan on accelerating into the right eastbound lane. That poses operational problems and also additional costs of the project we simply do not have at this time. What you get is this refuge lane, so folks taking a left into the refuge lane pause here and then they merge into the eastbound lane. And that works operationally and also fiscally on that. So that was one of the requests to look at, and yes, that works fine for this. There was other, that was a main concern for businesses. With that, we're also lengthening the right turn pocket and defining it better with a little wider gore area between the through lane and the right turn pocket. Make sure people understand that is a right turn pocket, not a through lane. Nothing really changed at this part. So there wasn't any changes or recommended changes from the city on that. Restriping on, I'll get to this one a little later, because that takes a little discussion, and I'm being high clip at the moment. With changing the configuration on this, we also looked at pedestrian movement in this intersection because there's a lot of conflict points at an intersection. And currently the sidewalks daylight or end right here at the intersection. We're proposing to move this pedestrian crossing back a little bit so they have a refuge here and it's a straight cross, less conflict points for the pedestrians. So that's a proposal from us to make it safer for pedestrians. It's a relatively low cost, and I'll go through cost a little later. But, you know, it's just another thing. We got to think about the pedestrians and the safety for those folks. With going away from that, we eliminate this need for a right-of-way acquisition on the corner of this parcel here. Well, that's a good thing, so we won't need that. And back to the striping, currently you have four lanes coming through here. And we proposed, if you can scroll up just a little bit to the north. Thank you. The city council recommended making these couplets, Columbia and Malouk, the next street up, or two blocks up. This one will go, I believe, to the east this way and on to First. With going with this channelization configuration, we don't have to buy this corner. We can bring them in and they can turn, and if they come wide on the trucks, they can come into this left turn lane and then back into their lane. If we would have left it at the existing striping, they would have turned and then encroached into the oncoming lane and then back in. So that's a safety benefit. It gets us out of buying any corners here for improvement. And also the advantage of striping this way is you allow for egress and ingress into the businesses along here, which is pretty important that we got the message loud and clear on. So I recommend going with this configuration. It's kind of new, but please consider that as part of the endorsement. And that's the changes that we came up with to tie into everything, considering the business needs at this on this section of street. To the north, I think you got a five-lane configuration with left turn lane, and so we just basically taper it down to three. You do wind up with some wide shoulders here that won't really be feasible for parking, but you have, I don't know if you ever had any need for on-street parking through this section or at all anyway. And I wouldn't encourage it if you have pedestrian crossings too, because that would be problematic for somebody darting out from a parked car or something like that, especially off of a highway. So anyway, this is something that we looked at to try to tie everything together. So that's a piece that needs to be considered and endorsed on that. Another thing the city recommended, can you scroll over to 24 and Broadway?
Can we, wait a minute, Bob?
Yeah.
Why don't we allow the council to ask any questions real quick?
Sure.
I'm not quite sure if I understood what you said down on the intersection.
Yeah.
Or you take the left to head east off of First. Is that going to be there? That
this,
lane?
This
acceleration
left
lane.
This?
Yeah. Is that going to
yes,
be there?
Yes. That's proposed.
Oh, it is going to be there.
Yes.
Okay. I
yes.
thought you were saying it wasn't going to be there.
That's what you guys requested. We look at it and the answer is yes. It works.
There's no acceleration lane if you come up the spur and go east.
Yeah. This is also not an acceleration lane. It's more of a refuge lane.
Okay.
You pull in, you pause, then you merge. There's a couple of things. We did look at the acceleration lane and trying to put one in, aside from being prohibitive by cost, by running it out and doing your tapers all the way out. You basically block the state shed, maintenance shed, the county shed, and the state patrol because it'll be right within the taper. And so we wanted to preserve that access for those folks. And the other thing that we found out about going with an acceleration lane is it leads to operational issues because you got a lot more asphalt out there. People tend to drive a little faster, and people try to merge in from the left side. And what we found out, they tried that over on the west side, and it wasn't working very well. We did do some research on that and found out that that's not a desirable configuration. So the refuge does work. And I think we put it up there at Baseline Intersection towards Moses Lake. and I don't think we've had any operational issues up there on that one. So that was a good thought, and it works well for this project.
Any other questions from council while we're staring at this?
Okay.
Any citizens have a question? We'll give you an opportunity. Okay, thanks, Bob.
Okay, thank you. Moving along, let's go over to Highway 24 and Broadway, to the left. Thank you. One thing that the city requested is trying to improve sight distance head looking north at this intersection right here. We looked at the wall options, and I'll go through that, but the costs are pretty high on that. We don't have the money. But we did come up with is moving the stop bar forward. What that does is it increases the sight distance. Currently, what we have is about 245 feet of sight distance to the north with the way it's sitting right now. Not enough. Moving the stop bar forward, what we get is it increases the sight distance to 1,100 feet, but there's a little window in that 1,100 feet. The columns block it, so about 300 feet of that 1,100 feet are blocked by the columns, the bridge columns there. So regardless if you build a wall, cut back and build a wall to open it up a little bit, you still have the columns that are always going to be in the way. So low-cost fix to make this project work, move the stop bar forward, that, and then build this wide a little bit more in this corner, so trucks coming south and taking a left or a left onto here, they can make this without clipping the stop bars or anything like that. So to make all this work, we just widen it a little bit more to the south on that corner, and you get a significant increase in your sight distance. Any questions on that?
Yeah. We had talked about pedestrian issue right there. Did you guys talk at all about that?
Yeah, we did look at that cost too. makes it very difficult. I've seen, you know, stage one, we saw some pedestrian movement. You guys asked us about putting a pedestrian undercross under the bridge. Again, the price really gets up there, and I'm gonna go through all the pricing on that, so I'll cover it all at once, but it became pretty prohibitive with the funds we have. But we did look into design and kind of came up with a ballpark estimate, and we can pass that on to the city for future consideration on other grants they may go after at this point in time, but we simply just didn't have the money in the bucket.
What about ecology blocks? Is that what they call them? Big cement blocks with a walk behind it or something just until we get the lane?
We looked at least four options. Eco blocks weren't one of them. All of them take some geotechnical analysis, which we didn't really have the time to go through all that in detail. We did talk to our bridge folks in headquarters, and they said these are the basic walls that would typically work in this situation. And so we went with that and the estimates they gave us for the retaining wall on that. There's a lot of sidewalks. I apologize for the visual, but there's a light blue line that shows sidewalk configuration that will meet ADA. And again, I'll share that information and pass it on to the city for the future. It's definitely a worthwhile project in the future, and I encourage you folks to think about it, because part of stage two is also dealing with some sidewalk infrastructure on Columbia and Maluk Street to kind of complete those out, because if more cars are using those side streets, they're incomplete sidewalks right now. It makes a lot of sense to address them now for the pedestrian component of the project for safety. And we'll go through that over that as well. So, any questions about the sight distance and pedestrian movement underneath the bridge?
Just a general question. Where they're coming up 24 and turning right, and there's a triangle drawn right there.
Right here?
Right there. Is that going to be a raised cement curb, or is that just striping?
I think it'll be pretty much the same as what you have out there now. We're just widening that radius out. We don't have a final design on that because we're still looking for endorsement. We haven't gotten that far. But typically what you see out there, just see more asphalt out on that radius point.
And maybe you're going to get to this, but is this plan contingent on Broadway being one lane past the engine shed?
That's part of what also city recommended. So if we can scroll up to the north, unless we have anything more south of this, I'll cover that piece now.
We got somebody? Oh, okay. Go ahead.
Dave? We talked about the pillars, and the pillars will stay there.
Yes.
Is there any way that we can dig down behind those pillars?
We looked at that.
And make that a little wall so that there's a little better fit through there on the
backside.
Again, it's the costs out there exceed the available funding. And you're really, you're gaining a little more site distance, but we're gaining, just moving the stop bar forward, we're gaining, we're going from 245 feet of site distance up to 1,100 feet. And even building behind that wall, it's not going to eliminate that block that's by its column, so.
Columns will always be there.
Yeah, until we replace the bridge.
Okay. So, yes, back to.
Ken has a question or a comment.
We're talking, what I understand you now is that we're not going to do anything with those pedestrians. So where are they going to walk? Are they going to walk out in the street? I mean, this is ridiculous. We requested we'd have someplace for those people to walk, and I think we should stay with that walkway. I mean, that's part of the project. And if we say, oh, we'll do it in the future, yeah, after we kill two or three people there, then it's fine, then you'll jump in there and do it. No, we want that pedestrian now along with this project. I don't think that we should hold that back and say, well, it costs too much. What's a life worth?
Exactly. This project's, the whole scope and the emphasis of this project came from safety enhancements at the intersection due to collisions. That's what the grant money was that you got. The extra money that I was able, the DOT was able to find is safety enhancements at intersections. We consider pedestrian component as much as we can. This is an add-on to the original scope of the project. We tried to look to see if we could do it. We don't have the money. The state doesn't have the money. If you want to go after a grant, that's how you'll get it. Plain and simple on that one.
Well, according to what I read here, and I'm sure you're going to get into this, each individual one, but you've got so much money appropriated for this, which takes care of practically everything that we had on the list. But now you're talking about cutting some of this out.
When we were asked, that was a nice thing to add. It never was originally part of the project, so we looked to see if we could do it, and we simply can't. You're trying to add something to the project that wasn't part of the original project that you went out to get the scoping, the money for.
Right here we talk about relocating. Well, we talk about site distances under the bridge. We've got a wall here for $192,000. I know that's a lot of money, and I think that's too much for that wall, that retaining wall we're talking about, including the tiebacks and everything. I'd like to have that contract. But we've got pedestrian connections under there, and it's all included in this total amount here. And so
I think you need to add up the numbers a little bit closely to see the total on that. If you were to add them up, the stuff in blue on that sheet, since we're talking about it, is what the project total is. The stuff in white is the stuff we simply can't get to.
So you're talking about just the ones that are in blue, is that right?
Yes, sir.
Yes,
sir.
So do we have, is there funding grants out there to grab for stuff like this?
You'd have to look. I don't have that information for you. It's just something that, part of the discussion that I recall is we'll look at it. If we can't get to it, we'll give you what we have as far as how we got to those numbers and a design that meets ADA standard, and we have that stuff. And I was just, you know, because of the money's not there, I was just going to pass it over to the city. If they want to pursue additional funding in the future for pedestrians, they have something to work off of. And that's as far as we could get with it, plain and simple.
Okay.
Yes. Up to the north on Broadway, we're still talking about needing to one lane it to avoid this corner on that potato shed. So, yes, that helps the project out tremendously as far as accomplishing other goals of this project as far as the safety enhancement. So the city is proposing to make this one way east and then in Waluke one way west. As you can see, this white line on both sides of the road here is incomplete. This is your sidewalk. We're basically going to tie these in, tie it into this existing sidewalk, and also to this existing sidewalk. And that just kind of cleans it up. The other thing that comes along with this is curb cuts for defining, because you're making this a truck route now, there is a need now to make sure you ensure curb cuts for egress and entrance into properties. It's a better way to control it instead of having a lot of blackout here with just roads and people to shoot out anyway. You really need to start controlling, you know, moving on and off the streets. We're not taking anything away. We're just defining the approaches on that. That's part of the sidewalk system. Any questions or concerns about that comment? Okay. And the same thing applies to Waluke as well. If you want to look at that one, we can scroll up north. And as you see here on Waluke, you have some incomplete sidewalks through here, and you have some right through here as well. So we're just basically connecting up the sidewalk system with the city on those two streets as part of the project. It's a relatively low cost for the pedestrian component, but I think it's a value to those folks on that. Any questions on those? Any questions on the one-way channel reconfiguration on Broadway? Very good. Okay. Moving along, we talked about that. I pretty much have covered all the things, so I'm going to get into the dollar amount since we're already on that. So if you could go to PDF. Yes. Thank you. This is the one that we're talking about for the folks that are not knowing, but anyway. Just real quickly on this, on all the cost. For the whole project, the refuge lane, the channelization on First Avenue, the pedestrian crossing that I mentioned, moving that a little to the north and getting it out of that intersection, restriping First Street to three lanes. There's another thing you guys are asking for, a reduction in speed. I want to talk about this one in particular right now. You asked for flashing lights in advance of the intersection to the west and to the east. You also asked for a speed reduction. Where we're at is still, I mean, this is a continuous on the conversation on the speed reduction. Right now, with the speed studies we have at the current configuration, it doesn't warrant a reduction in speed. What we're saying now is let's implement these ITS intelligent safety things, these flashing things that say your speed is, and it'll flash your speed on it. So as they're approaching the intersections, it'll catch their eye. Their speed is this, and with the posted speed, that should bring them down. We reconfigure the intersection to the proposal that we've talked about, and then we step back and we do a traffic study to see how the intersection is operating. And at that time, if something's showing up, then we continue the conversation on the reduction in speed. But we're proposing, and simply just don't have enough data to say, yeah, speed reduction is warranted right now. Let's put this intersection in as we design it, and we agree to, and then put these signs in and then monitor it and see how it performs. Any questions or concerns on that one?
Make a comment. No, that was one of our number one priorities, was to have that speed reduction. No, that highway is not like it's out in no man's land. That actually goes through the center of Othello. Maybe not quite the center, but it's right through our city limits. And I think you should bow to the city and lower that speed limit. I don't care how you look at it. You think that traffic's got to go straight through. But we have got traffic comes and goes in Othello as well, and probably I'd say between 40% and 50% of that traffic comes into Othello, one direction or the other. And I think it ought to be a priority to lower that speed limit. I don't care what your experts say about it. You just go out there and look at it, and you close your eyes and you go by it to see who's going to be next out there. And I think anybody that stood out there and looked at that thing and surveyed it, that reduction needs to be down.
I agree. I think we should go the other way, reduce the speed, and then do your analysis and see if we don't need to. I mean, you get outside on the way to Pullman, outside of Colfax, and all of a sudden it goes down to 55, so it's not unheard of that you drop speeds on state highways.
But they reduced the speeds based off of studies, and right now the current studies don't indicate a compliance issue. And if you lower the speed like we talked about in the past, you're going to come across the compliance issue. So take a step back, recognizing what your wants are. Let's see what happens when this intersection goes into place with those flashing signs and start conducting, monitoring it, speed study, and see how it operates. I think from a professional standpoint, I think that's a prudent way to go right now. And I understand where you guys are coming from. It's near and dear to your hearts. But from a transportation perspective, we're doing these other things. Now let's see how it operates. And if it doesn't operate, then we'll be back talking. But right now, I think we should proceed forward with what we propose. And then, Justin, I understand the speed study, the speed reduction. I do. Not discounting that whatsoever. But right now, with the data we have, we can't support it.
So if we get concerned again, do we call you? How do we do this?
Call my boss. He's sitting right over here.
I mean, the other day we had fog moving and two wrecks like that, bing, right in front of Evergreen over there. So, cars smashing into each other.
Sorry for putting you on the spot.
That's all right. No, we've heard your concerns, at least at the department and what Bob has looked at for different alternatives. And when Bob says, okay, speed reductions are based on engineering information and data and rules and regulations, he's correct. There's another factor in, we've talked with our state traffic engineer. Right now, our state traffic engineer is the person authorized to change speed limits, whether that's up or down. And he is basically just about as adamant as you are, but wanting to make sure he's got the correct and right information in his decision making so that he's got a way to defend his actions. So he's dealing on it in a statewide basis. That's kind of why we came and said, let's make these improvements and make sure we monitor and study the speeds and the traffic through this so that we've got some real information to provide to him. So that's part of the recommendation.
So if we go ahead with your plan, you have you're planning on going ahead and doing the traffic studies?
Oh yes. Okay. Part of what we're here is part of our commitment, realizing your desire and interest in the speed limit through there. Bob and I will commit to putting together a plan for monitoring that intersection afterwards, and we can forward to you that plan when we've got it developed, if that's something that you feel that you could support.
Seems reasonable.
Thank you, Kurt.
Okay. Continuing down the list, unless you have any other comments regarding speed reduction at this time, is cantilevered signs. That's a big ticket item, no matter how you get away from it. Those are those big signs that stick up over the road. They're just not cheap. No way around them. Radius improvements, we talked about that. Changing Broadway to one lane heading north. We talked about that. That's just restriping the road. The white ones, as a result of some of these changes, there were some recognized cost savings, as the mayor's recognized, in about paving Columbia and Waluke. We also did an estimate for rebuilding them. Not enough money to rebuild. But to mill out and repave, yeah, we got the money for that.
Yes, all right, good.
Okay. We still need to go in there and drill a couple holes to see what kind of surfacing, just figure out how much asphalt we replace, take out and replace. So that's something out there. So those numbers are our best guess right now, with about 2/10 of new asphalt on those roads. So I thought that's good news. Sidewalks, we talked about the sidewalks. And then, of course, the pedestrian bridges. So the pedestrian underpass and the wall for sight distance. And they're big tickets. Yeah, there's probably a smarter way to build a retaining wall with the amount of time and relying on geotech experts without going out and doing a lot of soils analysis. We did pick a conservative retaining wall design, but regardless, it's still going to be a dollar amount. It's still going to be surprising to you guys by the time we build it. We got to build it to last. So for now, they're not in the budget, but they can be in the future. Any questions on this? And as I mentioned in the email to the city, we were able to come up with the additional fundings, and that's what we call as our safety improvement funds for intersections on state highways. And as I wrote in the email, that's constrained to the highway system. So I feel pretty lucky we were able to get that money because we were competing statewide for it. So that's good news for us on this project. So having said that, really looking for an endorsement on what we've talked about. If there's any questions regarding any component of the project, it'd be a good time to talk about it now or endorse it so we can move forward. We're really looking at, with this process we've gone through on re-looking at the design, it put us behind on our schedule. However, good news is this redesign requires less right-of-way. That helps us on our schedule. Still need to get moving on the right-of-way. So I really would encourage the city council to endorse what we have so we can get going on this thing, start putting it to pen to paper and get this thing ready for advertisement.
Yeah, I feel like you've been fair with us. I'm glad to see that. So from the first meeting, and yeah, we feel like you've heard our comments, I believe, but I feel that way, and considered them, and you're willing to look at them in the future. So I'm very thankful for that, because it is a big concern out there, because I work at Evergreen. You know, we hear the boom when it happens out there. So I want to thank the state for being able to listen to us and even consider our proposal. So I'm hoping council's interested. Is there any more questions by council? Mark?
The cantilever signs, whatever that is, that's a shame, that monetary amount. You're adamant we have to have overhead signs, just signs in the ground won't do it?
I'm sorry, what was that second part of signs?
Well, I understood those were, I don't know what those were, overhead signs. We can't just put posts in the ground?
The concern about doing that is you want to get directional signs so people will pay attention. Signs typically on the side in the city thing, they tend to get lost. And we really want to make sure that the folks that are, because of the revising the traffic pattern, we really do need to ensure that they know which direction to go. And the answer is yes, you really do need them. It is an expensive piece. There's a lot of concrete in the ground to hold those signs up, and it's, you know, depending on what the bid in, this is historically what we're seeing is about $80,000 a pop. Yeah, I don't blame you. They're pretty expensive.
I just wonder, as you come off of First and the Spur, why you would need them.
Just changing the direction.
People are stopped there, and you have islands for signs, and between the speeding and that's two things I disagree with your engineering on. So
these are primarily, these cantilevers will mostly be within the city on the side streets. It's to get their attention. Like I said, if you put it off to the side and say trucks go this way, they're going to miss it. You can't get enough writing on one small sign on the side. You have to elevate it because there's a lot of information you have to put out there on those signs.
More questions? So do I hear a motion to approve the plans as presented or changed as the final project drawings? Gina first.
Second.
Mark Snyder second. Any further questions or discussion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed, the same?
Aye.
Okay. Thank you, Bob. That passes.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you
appreciate
for coming.
It. Thank you for having us.
And thank you for listening to us. We appreciate that a lot, you guys.
Well, you know, it is the city's, you know, we're here for the highway, of course, but overall the city's got to live with it, and you guys came up with a good suggestions at work. So thank you back to the city.
Thank you.
Yeah, we'll thank you, and we will follow up with the speed study plan, as well as we'll provide a little better idea of the need for those overhead sign structures and how important they are to the overall signing, because yeah, they're a big cost, but they are necessary. There's other additional signing on wood posts that goes along with this too. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you for coming. Okay, 4.4 Bias 2012 Service Agreement. Mike?
Thank you, Mayor and Council. Tonight I have in front of you, it's actually the, it's just a, the annual agreement. It's renewed with Bias, which is our software company. This is a service agreement, and everything about it is the same as our previous service agreement, except it's $240.50 more this year than it was last year. And so I'm just asking Council to give us approval to sign this agreement for this coming year.
Questions?
Is it worth it?
Pardon me?
Is it worth it? Are we getting our money's worth?
Yeah, I believe we are. They're very responsive to us. We've actually helped them build some of their modules. In other words, they've used us and we've used them, and they've been very responsive to us.
Good. Any other questions? Do I hear a motion to approve the Bias 2012 Software Service Agreement?
Move.
Dan, first?
Second.
Charles, second. Any further questions or comments? All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same? Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you.
Passes. Okay. 4.5, use of city parks for religious displays. Who's up on that one? Barbara Main, are you here? There you are.
I'm just here as a citizen who has always enjoyed...
Excuse me, Barbara, could you give us your name and address for us, for the record?
My name is Barbara Main.
Okay.
And my address is 2263 Mockingbird Lane, Othello. Okay. And I'm just here as a citizen of Othello who has enjoyed our public parks. We've raised our family here. And I'm concerned that our nativity scene is no longer in the park. I realize there have been some questions over state and religious things. It seems to me that people have sat back long enough now and not said that we really believe that our nativity scene or other objects should be allowed in the, you know, to be displayed along with other religious things that could be displayed also. I don't think there's a problem with that. But for, I'm speaking of the nativity scene, to be excluded is sort of an affront to certain people, where having it in the park, it, I suppose, offends some people also. It, in reading, I've found that in several communities, they've addressed this same problem, and they've came up with solutions that other religious items can also be displayed. In fact, as I read one that they put in the, it was in a public park, a statement from an atheist group, instead of the nativity scene was placed there and other objects, and it just said, happy solstice, happy winter solstice, from the atheist group, which is not offensive to anyone. They have their statement, we have our statement, and I was wondering if it could be considered that our nativity scene be put back into our park.
Okay. Thank you, Barbara. Mm-hmm. Is there a couple other people in the audience that would like to address the council on this? Just raise your hand and acknowledge you. Raise your hand. Sean, I guess, you want to come up? We'll allow up to 5 minutes.
Thank you, Mayor and Council. My name is Sean Logan. I live at 1005 East Hamlet, here in Othello, and I kind of want to give you, the council, an idea of what, how the Christmas decorations came about this year. I had spoken with Eric Morgan, and I believe he addressed the council last week about the chamber coming forward with $250 to supplement it. But before that decision was made, we had looked at the whole idea of just scrapping the light display that they have at Pioneer Park because, you know, over time and volunteers, it had become disorganized. And so there was a decision, though, made in that meeting, and one of the main people that stepped forward were Eric and Pam Dodge. And, oh, she had to leave. Anyway, Pam says, well, you know what? I'm looking at this old nativity scene, manger scene, that had been put together years ago by Faye Mitchell and her husband and had been displayed at Pioneer Park for years. And so she volunteered her time, took it home, put it in her garage, and her, and I believe her mom and her family, all put that together. I mean, they just did a beautiful job. Then the chamber, in cooperation with Eric Morgan and some donations from in materials from the Pro Build, helped us get the materials together to refurbish some of the train cars and other items that we've used in the past. And then the idea came forward that what we would do is go to the Adams County Juvenile Department and have them, some of the people who are responsible for the graffiti in our community, to have them come and help repaint and put the new faces on these different decorations. And so with the help of my father and Dale Wyman and others, we use new plywood and we put together some new items, and the idea is that it's going to go forward. Well, these are volunteers. This isn't a particular group of people. This isn't a particular civic group, but it's people who want to revive and keep the spirit of Christmas in Othello. So I looked at the items that had been supplied for this meeting to the council from a legal standpoint, because obviously as a city council, you would be remiss if you didn't address the legal standpoint of whether we can or whether we can't put a nativity scene in the park. And the city attorney used some information from the Freedom From Religion Foundation that I wanted to point out, that there's one particular court case, and without getting into all this stuff, basically it said that it went all the way to the Supreme Court, but a city in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, had a particular scene, and they allowed it. And the reason they allowed it was because it wasn't just that particular Christmas display. It included other items. So I went to the city's Municipal Research and Services Center, and they have a legal opinion there too. They quote some of the same things, but one of the things that the Freedom From Religion Foundation left out was part of the statement from Justice O'Connor when she concluded that it was okay, but she says that therefore the test in these cases is whether a reasonable person would view the government's actions as an endorsement of a particular religion. And so that's your test. Is this endorsing a particular religion in your overall display, or is it just one symbol of many that are displayed? And so I guess as a citizen tonight, I would ask the council, or I would pose to the council, that tonight the Supreme Court isn't going to make this decision. And tonight the city attorney isn't going to make the decision. The decision will be made by the Othello City Council in regards to this community, who we are as a community, and what we represent as a community. And if you want to be able to make a informed decision about the test of whether putting a display of a manger scene in Pioneer Park is particularly endorsing Christianity or any other type of religion, then I would suggest that we take a recess for 15 minutes, walk over to the Pioneer Park a block away and take a look at the display that's there and see if adding a manger scene would really meet that test.
Thank you, Sean. Is there anybody else like to address the council? Okay. Eric? Okay. About up to 5 minutes. Okay.
Eric Morgan, 331 East Pine. You know, the symbol of the manger is not just one religion. It's many, many religions. And there's nothing that says that other religions can't, you know, can't display symbols that go back to their beginnings or time. And it's and there's nothing in the manger scene that portrays any one religion. Everybody relates to the birth of Christ. So by not having that scene in there, I've had a lot of phone calls, you know, because they know I'm part, been doing that. You know, why isn't it up? And I have to tell them, well, you know, city says no, and they come back, well, we're going to talk to the city. Barb and Keita are the first ones I've seen show up here and say, hey, we want it. And Sean's here tonight saying, hey, we want it. So, you know, it's time to tell the atheists where they can put it and show what the people in this town want to see. They want that manger scene in there. It's part of Christmas. It is Christmas. Thank you.
Yeah, I want to make it clear the city hasn't said no. That's why it's being brought before the council, so we make a decision here. Council, you want any comments or statements? Or I'm for it myself. I have no problems with it. I feel like it's universal through a lot of religions.
I don't know if anybody's been to Moses Lake. When you turn across over the actual lake, on the left-hand side, there's a manger there. I mean, a scene. And it has a disclaimer sign that's saying that the city of Moses Lake, this is not the view of city of Moses Lake, it is a private something. And it kind of alleviates the burden a little bit. And I think that would help move this along a little quicker. Just kind of put a disclaimer there. And if other groups want to come and have the same opportunity.
Thank you. Anybody else?
I have no problem with it, putting that up. I think it should be up also. So.
Ken?
According to what the law is and everything, it looks to me like there's a fine line in there. If it's not necessary, that's the only scene that it can be put up. In other words, if you've got other things related to Christmas or whatever, that is part of that, there's no problem with it. From what I can read, it's the Lemon decision or whatever that decision was. But if you just had that display alone, then that's a different matter, and you would have to have that particular organization or whatever have it have their name on it that it was actually their scene and not art. But whether it's tied in with all the other scenes that's in the park, I don't see where there's a problem with it. I mean, Catherine might clarify that for me. But,
yeah, if I could clarify, and maybe we're confusing two different scenarios. The Pawtucket case involved a city-owned display. Right. So if it's a city-owned display, and the city is entitled to have holiday displays, if it contains a religious element, then the rule is that there has to be enough variety in the display that a reasonable person wouldn't interpret that as endorsing one religion or one faith over another. So that's where the variety element comes into play if it's a city-sponsored event. If you're talking about a private display on public property, the minute you allow a private display on public property, you create a public forum. So in that situation, anybody has the right, the same access to the public property to display their message as well. So in that event, you would simply have the sign that identifies who the sponsor and the owner is of that display, and everybody has equal access. And that's perfectly permissible. The only issue is because it's involving public property, and so you run into the constitutional issues with the Establishment Clause and the public forum issues. Obviously, anybody, if they have private property or private church property, can put whatever display they want at any time on private property. There's no restriction there. The only restrictions come into play because we're dealing with public property. So if it's a city-sponsored display, there has to be enough variety so that it's not an endorsement of any one faith. If it's a private display, it just simply has to identify that it's a private display, not a city-sponsored display. If you're going to allow private displays on public property, I think it's a good practice to have some sort of very simple permit requirement so that you identify who the owner is and how long they can maintain the display, so that you don't have displays that are up for longer than you anticipated them. So everybody, in essence, has the same access to public property for the same duration of time.
The organization that would be putting up a display in our case be a private organization. Okay, and just so we know, since they're a private organization, any private other private organizations that want to display can come get a permit and put a display up. And I'm just saying this so that we all know that I am perfectly fine with having the nativity scene in the park, but this could mean that there could be scenes that we don't necessarily agree with put up, and there's not going to be anything we're going to be able to do about it.
Right, and just so the audience is aware, this is an issue that once again has kind of taken the headline news limelight because, and call it maybe no good deeds goes unpunished, depending on your point of view, but another city in Virginia had the same scenario where they allowed private displays on public property, and it was 10 spots available on a first-come, first-served basis. One of the display owners erected a Santa Claus skeleton nailed to a crucifix, and it was found very, very objectionable by a majority of the people who lived in the particular city, and in fact so enraged one woman that she came down and literally tore it bone to bone apart.
Pass that around, let everybody forget.
But the message there is that if you open it up as a public forum, what comes in, what you may consider good, you may also get bad. And there is nothing you can do as a city once you open up a public forum to restrict, limit, prohibit, condition the types of displays. So
other than number, right?
Or the number? Well, you
other
could.
Other the number.
Other than number and duration.
We can limit the number and the duration, but we can't limit what can be put up.
Right. You could limit content neutral. You could limit size, location, duration, that sort of thing. But you cannot make any condition or limitation about content. And I don't shoot the messenger, but this is our United States Supreme Court, and it's very well settled law.
In the motion, it's, quote, nativity scene. Does Santa Claus and Rudolph and sleighs, does it all fall outside the scope of that?
There is pretty clear dicta in the Supreme Court decisions that is considered more your holiday lore and is not affiliated with any particular religious faith.
Has anybody decided when it passes from display of Santa Claus to a nativity scene?
No, but I'm sure there's somebody willing to challenge it if you want to try and slice that salami real thin. You know, the thing to be aware of is there are organizations out there, just like the pit bull organizations on a national level, that monitor these things, and they look for an opportunity to strengthen their position legally through case law, and it's you understand what your choices are, and you can choose what you want. Just be aware that there might be some display that you may not have anticipated.
Maybe we should take our chances this year and see if we can't come up with a reasonable thing for next year. And if anybody wants to look, you can pass a computer around, see this skeleton that's up here. If you haven't done that, why it's a skeleton on a cross and in a Santa Claus suit. And somebody put it up in Virginia. And
by the way, the they get pretty creative, but the owner's message was not that this was anti-religion. It was supposed to be an artistic expression of the death of Christmas through greed and commercialism.
Any more questions by council? So do I hear a motion to allow the nativity scene in Pioneer Park?
So moved.
Second. Okay, Charles first, Dan second. Any further questions or discussion?
Are we going to be limiting the number of displays?
What all do we need on this, council?
One for this year.
It might be, before you vote on that motion, it might be better for a motion to be made to allow private displays in the public park, subject to whatever limitations you're going to impose, a duration or how many there can be or where in the park they can be, so that you're establishing permission for everybody.
That's another key. We reserve the right to put to decide where they are going to be, right? In the park?
Absolutely.
Yeah. So, there's a lot of space behind the bathroom.
Well, no.
Just in case.
We can assign spacing.
Okay, do we need to have a rescind from the two votes? Dan, would you rescind your second?
Yeah, I'll.
Okay, so we can go and get something else put in this.
Put in
better.
The language
Charles, you can go second. Okay. Now, Charles. How many plots do we want on this thing? Do we want three to try this year or what?
What's reasonable?
I don't know. Catherine will help us here if we're not. This is a whole new area for us.
At this point, I wouldn't impose a limit on the number. I would impose a limit on the duration and start there and just see what you get this year.
So removed by January 1st, you think?
So what's a limit? When should it come down? After the first?
Yeah.
It can be up from the 15th of December until the 5th of January or something like that, or the 3rd?
Whatever council wants to establish.
Charles, you want to make a motion? You already did it once.
I think we should make it real tricky and say 1.5 displays. And let people try and figure that one out.
Okay. Let's get it.
Two.
No, we're just talking about a time limit.
Time limit?
Does the council feel good about not having the amount of, just due to time limit this year, and we can really look at it and get something?
I'd
built
say by January 1st.
I would give them a few more days.
January 2nd, 3rd.
They're not going to want to go do it on their vacation time.
Yeah. I was thinking that kind of like you have to take down your political signs 10 days after the election, so 10 days after Christmas. Would that be reasonable?
That'd be the 4th? Is that what it is?
Somewhere around the 5th.
10 days before, 10 days after.
Okay, Charles, your motion?
Should we say limited to Pioneer Park, too?
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
So we don't get stuff showing
Good
up
idea.
In other parks?
Good idea.
Now, where am I exactly on this motion?
You
I make
are
a motion to allow.
To allow private displays at Pioneer Park. Beginning December 15th to be taken down January
5th. Whatever.
So moved.
Okay, do I have a second?
Second.
Okay, further discussion or questions?
What's the date today?
12.
12.
So they got to wait 3 days before they can put it up?
That's this weekend.
It'll take them 3 days to put it up.
So.
I got a question for Eric. When did you put them up?
What's that?
Did you put the display up that's there now?
McDonald's, the crew from McDonald's did that. I put the Santa Claus post office up on the 1st of December because the kids have put the letters in there. Hope there's no kids in here. My wife answers them. So she sends out a Christmas card and so forth. So I would say from the 1st of December until about the 4th or 5th of January, because we got to get the crew together to take everything down. Now, the nativity scene, if you want just the nativity scene, to worry about the 1st of December till the 4th of January or 5th of January. That gives time, because they've got to work this, the ones that put it up have to work it into their schedule to get it taken down. So.
Okay. So Charles first, we had a second, correct?
I think we should change that to the 1st of December.
Well, we're past the 1st. By next year, we'll have this all redone. Yeah. So we'll take a good hard look at it and have it going.
Because we have that time, so. When we can put it up, doesn't necessarily mean it's going to get put up before that time.
Yeah, well, we're going to go with what we have for a motion. So
for this year.
For this year. And then we'll have to take a hard look at how we need to do this. So
it's who we can find to put it up and take it down.
Yeah. All in favor, say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay, you guys are on. Come this weekend. Okay. All right. 4.6. Consideration of Othello Sandhill Crane Festival request. Dixie.
Well, you were going to review this and decide, come to a decision. I guess I'm here to find out if you've made a decision.
Council, have any questions for Dixie? Come on.
Was the software compatible? Did we find that out?
Amen.
Yes, Mrs. Pope provided the software.
It's Access.
Yes.
So.
And it is.
Any other questions?
My only reserve, and I talked to Eamon about this, and I had a question, is how much does the Sandhill Crane Festival work with the Chamber Boards in developing what's going to go on and how it's going to take place? And because to me, it should be a lot. It really should.
And once the Chamber is up and running, that may be a consideration. It was a chamber event. The chamber, we left the chamber a number of years ago, and whether or not it will ever get back together is something that the future will have to see.
Because
we did form our own entity.
I understand that.
But I still would not feel comfortable with this being kept at the chamber office. It has, for the last 10, 12 years, it has been kept on a public system, and I feel very strongly that it needs to remain on a public system where it's a more protected system.
And they're going to leave out the bank card information.
Right.
So we're not going to try to protect that.
Right.
Okay. Go ahead.
Correct.
Well, part of this, I know the time is the essence here too, because we got to get this thing put together for the Sandhill Crane Festival. My thought is, as we have a new position coming up next year as our Park and Recreation Director, which is a kind of a coordinator for these events and whatnot, is there a possibility of that position could take care of this portion of for the Sandhill Crane, as well as others for that matter? I don't know how that would work, but that position to me would be the ideal position to take care of something like this.
The only thing I worry about that whole deal is we haven't developed a job description yet, and how much do we want to keep behind a desk? You know what I mean?
Right.
It's roughly 60 hours, you're assuming, roughly, right about there.
Yeah, it's probably actually going to be a little less than that, but I didn't want to, the first time around, I didn't want to shortchange ourselves and say that, oh yeah, she's worked on it 60 hours and we need 2 more hours or something, so, or 48 hours and we need a couple more, but the girl who's been doing it has said that 60 hours will be very adequate.
Oh, okay.
And probably is a little bit on the high side, but.
Okay. Catherine, do you have a comment?
Well, I guess my question for the festival, and I did provide council with some information about different options available to consider, and if we're going to go forward with what's been proposed by the festival, my questions, as I indicated in my memo, would be, is the festival's long-term goal to discontinue the festival as far as you being the proponents and supporters of the festival and transfer that role to, like, the city as a city-sponsored event? Or are you simply wanting the city to undertake this one task and the festival will continue to organize and promote and do all of the other?
The current plan is that the city would take only this one element, that we will continue to do what we've been doing.
Okay.
We're only asking that someone take over this particular element because we've lost the current situation where we could have it.
Then in that capacity, I suggest that, and it's in my materials that I provided to you, I would suggest that from the city standpoint, we solidify that relationship through some sort of an agreement with the festival so that we can justify to the auditor the expenditure of staff time so that we're not seen as gifting to a separate entity because they are a private nonprofit organization on their own. And so we can't simply gift our public funds through the staff time and use of our resources to a private nonprofit corporation, however public the purpose might be. And I've provided the council with that information. So, you know, it doesn't have to be a complicated agreement, but I think we need to establish some sort of an agreement that documents what we've agreed to do so that when the auditor asks us how we justify it, we've got an agreement that we can show the auditor that shows what the mutual benefit is to the city as well as to the festival. And in doing that, then we would also be able to get confirmation that you have gone from inactive status as a corporation to active status. Because you wouldn't be able to sign the agreement unless you were in an active corporation.
And we are an active corporation.
Well, maybe the data then at the Secretary of State website is not up to date, because right now their website shows you as inactive as of, it was like in October of 2011, so recently.
It's the first we become aware of it, because we have never done anything to make it inactive.
You might want to follow up on that.
Yes, that's obviously something that we need to follow up on. And yes, we did have an agreement with the irrigation district, a written agreement. This is not unusual. We would have expected that.
So, Catherine, then there would not be any money exchanging that you're talking about? It just be an agreement? We're gaining benefit because of the people coming in the city and the taxes? And
we would craft the recitals, right, to make it non-monetary on the city side.
Okay. Just trying to see how that works.
So what do we need to do, Kevin?
So is the council in favor of this? So then we can just sort of give me a nod, then we can try to get Catherine to help us with a motion. So I'm not quite sure how we're going to do this motion. Well, it sounds like we have people interested in doing that on the council, so what could be a motion that we get started with?
Move to direct staff to craft an agreement pursuant to the festival's request, wherein the city would undertake the task of preparing the mailing labels for the registrants.
Maintaining it. I think it's the correct word.
Yeah. Maintaining? Okay.
Maintaining the current mailing list.
Okay.
And make that motion.
Okay, Mark first.
I'll second.
Ken second. Any further questions or discussion?
The only discussion I would bring up is what we talked about 10 minutes ago, is that we've opened this can of worms, so the rodeo might be in here, and youth baseball and other organizations might wanting the same thing, so beware.
See, and I don't know.
Looking
we're
at Catherine's discussion of the issue, the next to the last paragraph I thought was interesting. It says, last, if the city only wants to continue providing support through the hotel motel tax,
that it may not do what the festival is currently requesting.
And that's going to be something that came out.
While hotel motel taxes may be expended to support the festival, festival must perform the services, and the city may reimburse those expenses after the fact.
I'm not weighing in on this, because she can handle this kind of thing.
Go ahead and do that, contract with somebody to do it, and do the work, and then we, you know, we could pay for it through the hotel motel tax, instead of having it in the city. But if Catherine finds what's suitable to everybody else, then I'd be for it.
I wonder if they'd...
Amy, you have a comment?
Well, just to compare it, it's much like the ACDC, the Adams County Development Council relationship that the city has. They perform a service, and we provide monetary compensation for that. But it's just the same as here. It's an agreement that we have with ACDC, just like this one.
That's okay. Primarily what that's this next flat paragraph then. Same
right.
Thing.
Okay, we had Mark was first, Ken was second, correct? Okay. Any further discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed the same? Okay, Dixie?
Thank you very much.
We'll get something drawn up and we'll be meeting.
We'll get that information and you get that agreement and I'll be ready to sign it at any time.
Thank you for
coming.
Thank
you very much. That's a true load off of the weight of this committee.
Okay, ordinance to amend the 2011 budget. Mike.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor and members of council. I am bringing before you our annual budget amendment. And, of course, we've been talking about this most of the year after the union contract was settled, and we knew that salary and benefits were gonna cost the city more than we had anticipated. The whole thing turned out a little bit different, but this increase is not because of salary and benefits. It looks like actually salary and benefits are gonna come in under budget by about $174,000, and some of the reasons for that is in Public Works we had an unfilled position, and then in Public Works we also had a vacated position and saved about $106,000. In admin, we had a vacated position in finance and a vacated position in records and saved about $17,000. And in the police, they had various positions that were vacant for part of the year and then were filled later on, and there was a savings there for, anyway, that totaled up to like $214,000. So what this is all about is that the building inspections, we paid out $80,000 more than we thought we were going to pay out this year, and that was because of the school project. And one thing about the building inspections is it does create revenue, so there is a good side to the built to that, even though it's over on the expenditure side, it's also over on the revenue side, and I'll get to that in just a minute. And then And then our left one retirees, we paid like we were over budget about $58,000, and almost the entire sum of that was for one retiree who had to go through chemotherapy, and he was not insurable, and so we were over on our left one retiree fund. That individual has since then got his Medicaid Part B or whatever they call that, and is now insured by the federal government. So the general fund is the first item up there, and so it looks like I'm actually showing you that we're going to have about $512,000 more in revenue than we'd anticipated, and I'm asking for another $125,000 in appropriations on the expenditure side. And we don't need the entire $125,000, but that's a cushion in case something hits besides, what we really need for the general fund. The revenue that we're over on the revenue, our building permits are over by $55,000. Plan check fees are over by $51,000. Our utility taxes in the general fund, this is our transfer to the general fund, will be over by about $320,000. and our sales tax mitigation fund is over by $35,000. So the sum total of just those four items is $461,000. And that's just a snapshot of the entire general fund. There are some other pluses and minuses, but it all comes out to about $512,000. On the expenditure side, I think I already covered the left one retirement and the building inspections is really the thing that is driving this request for the general fund. And then we move down to the donations fund. We didn't budget the donations fund in 2011, and we have the Shop with the Cop program every year, and so this covers the donation fund for the Shop with the Cop program. And then following that is Fund 114, the Tourism Fund. I'm going to move this up a little bit. The Tourism Fund, early in the year, Council, I think it was in January, in fact, I included it in the packet, Council agreed to give the Sandhill Crane Festival an additional $5,000. So this is simply a budget amendment to cover that. Below that is utility tax fund, and there's a lot of adjustments in the utility tax fund, but I'll just go through them very quickly. Beginning fund balance, we had budgeted $224,833, and it came in lower than that by $99,595. So I'm actually putting in the actual number there by using the math. Revenues came in higher, about $715,000, almost $716,000. Even though we got a windfall in this fund for $905,000, some of the other utility taxes didn't come in as strong as we'd anticipated. So there's a little bit of a wash there. Expenditures were high because when the windfall came in for $905,000, $452,000 of that is transferred to the general fund. That wasn't anticipated. So this expenditure covers that. That's one of the items it covers. The second item it covers is the Main Street project. We did about $194,000 in change orders in that fund, and we never moved any money into the fund from any other source to fund the change. So all I'm asking for is $119,000 the rest of that was surplus in the Main Street project fund itself. So what this will do is it'll fund the Main Street project just enough to cover the retainage that we owe the contractor, and which is about $228,000. So that'll be Fund 140.
The last one.
The last one is the Street Fund, and the $134,000 in revenue there includes $15,200 in interest earnings, and so I'm showing the transfer of $119,000 plus the $15,000 in interest earnings that's already in there, and then the budgeted numbers in there are all just actuals through the year. When we budgeted this fund last year, I just simply put $1 million there, because I actually thought the project was going to be mostly completed in 2010, and with all the weather problems and everything else, it just wasn't done. So the main part of the project was done in 2011. And so that's the 2011 budget amendment ordinance that I'm proposing. And are there any questions?
Do I hear a motion to adopt the ordinance to amend the 2011 budget as presented?
I so move.
Second. Tim first, Dan second. Any further discussion or questions? All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed the same? Okay, thank you, Mike.
Thank you very much.
Okay, 4.8, oath of office for newly elected officials. I want to thank the families for waiting. I know this has taken a while, but we appreciate you staying. So can I have Charles Garcia, Eugene Bain, DeWitt, Dan Deaver, and Mark Snyder right down in here? Where'd Mark go? And, okay, Debbie will do the oath. You just want to come right down in here, you guys? We're going to have to wait for Mark. Oh, no, Mark's, that's right, he can leave. That's right.
Please raise your right hand and repeat after me. I, and insert your name.
I am Mark Sanders.
Do solemnly swear.
Do solemnly swear.
That I will support the Constitution.
That I will support the Constitution.
And laws of the United States.
And laws of the United States.
And the Organic Act.
And the Organic Act.
And laws of the State of Washington.
And the laws of the State of Washington.
And that I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And I will faithfully and impartially perform.
And discharge the duties of the office.
And discharge the duties of the office.
Of the City Council position. According to law.
According to law.
To the best of my ability.
To the best of my ability.
And after the council meeting, I'll have to sign each of your the original ones.
All right. Okay. 4.9, consideration to council to cancel the December 26, 2011 council meeting.
So moved.
Quick, okay, I had a first. Who was second, Dan?
Yes.
Any discussion?
He got in before I did.
Any discussion? Okay, all in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same. Okay. Well, that's quick. Okay, unfinished business.
While we're at it, should we just cancel January 3rd, too?
It's down here a little bit. We'll talk about it. Okay, unfinished business. New business.
Oh, wait. On unfinished, I wanted to ask how we were doing on the engineer for Moon Street project.
Tomorrow's morning. They'll be bringing it to you at the next real council meeting. We'll see.
He sat there patiently, and I knew that was his question, so I was like, don't want to miss it.
Okay. Any other unfinished business? Okay, new business. None? Okay, under new business, 6.1, January workshop, Tuesday, January 3rd. Do we want to have that meeting or not? All we have right now is the
comp plan
on that.
It could wait.
So if you want to cancel that one, we can too. It's up to you.
Move.
Someone's got to make a motion.
Move. Cancel third.
Dan, first, you want to cancel?
Second.
Ken,
second.
Any further discussion? All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed, the same?
Aye.
One more time, huh?
Okay.
You guys should meet.
There you go.
Mr. Mayor,
yes.
My wife asked me how come I was putting on a suit, you know, and I said, well, actually, they're going to take a picture, but that isn't making yours. Actually, it's in honor of Mr. Spohr, who has served the city very well, and I think these are a statement of I put on a jacket and a tie just to say goodbye.
Well, thank you.
I didn't die.
No.
Okay.
Thank you.
It might be a black suit if you
I feel awful. I was just going to hug him afterwards.
Well, we have coffee and things back here, and this meeting's adjourned.
Oh, yeah,
hang on just one second. I forgot something. The quarterly Adams County Mayor's Luncheon is Wednesday, December 14th at noon at the Othello Senior Center. Penny Morris, manager of the Othello branch of the Columbia Bank, will be the speaker. Anybody's welcome to come. If you're donating items for the Adams County Fire District No. 5 Christmas baskets, you can bring them in, put them on the tree here, or take them to the fire department by the 15th, this Thursday. And of course, engineering review committee is tomorrow, and everybody knows who's on that. Yes. Taylor, Darrell, and Snyder. Okay, thank you.